Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello out there, everyone, and how are you doing tonight? I hope everyone is having a very happy Monday. This is your radio host, Gigi Adams-Evans, with a very special guest, author, Mr. Stephen Murray, who is a very unique person, who is an author who has written an award-winning work of fiction entitled The Chapel of Eternal Love, Wedding Stories for Las Vegas. The number to call in tonight is 646-200-3817. Now, with having said that about Mr. Murray, I'd like to read you a little bit about him before we get started with him. He's on the air, by the way, and you can call him again at 646-200-3817. Mr. Stephen's first book is a fictional novel and an anthology of short and varied stories as to why couples venture to Las Vegas. You know, so many people do that to get married. They forsake the trappings of a large family celebration and opt instead for a small, intimate wedding between bride and groom. The reader is essentially invited to spend a day at the chapel with the wedding organizer, Rosemary, and her pet dog. As the various couples come and go, love means different things to different people and manifests itself in many different ways. The diverse vignettes are touching, uplifting, humorous, and occasionally heartbreaking. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a novel about relationships, essentially a warm, feel-good book, void of explosive or graphic sex. It is a fun and easy read, focusing around the universal language of love. It is, after all, love that makes the world go round. The critically acclaimed sequel, Return to the Chapel of Eternal Love, Marriage Stories from Las Vegas, was released in December of 2015 and revisits the same couples 5 years hence. This was a response to reader requests as to where the paths of the couples took them once they left the altar. Both books have received 5-star ratings from readers' favorites as well as Authors Talk About It Book Award Contest. The Chapel of Eternal Love, Wedding Stories from Las Vegas, won first place in the Authors Talk About It Book Award Contest in mainstream category. And without further ado, I'd like for you to all welcome Mr. Stephen Murray. How are you doing, Stephen?
Thank you, Gigi, just fine. And it's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you to your listeners for tuning in.
Thank you so much. We're going to get right to the questions and get into the Chapel of Eternal Love. What do you hope readers to expect from reading the Chapel of Love, Stephen? What do you hope for them to get out of this story?
Well, as you so correctly mentioned, Gigi, it is a fun read, and it is a warm and uplifting book, and they are all stories about love, and love, as you mentioned, does mean different things to different people. And I think right now, especially where we're all at in the world, we could probably use a lot of love, and hopefully that's what people take away from it, warmth and feel good. And even though some of the stories are heartbreaking, ultimately they're very optimistic and uplifting. And even in the tragic ones, there's always hope at the end of each chapter. So I hope they'll have a nice feel-good feeling and feel hopeful and feel loved by the time they finish the book.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Now, how long did it take you to write your books? Because I know you have a sequel to it. And with that having said, are you kind of a romantic kind of guy that likes to write about wedding stories, love stories?
actually, no. It was quite an accident, Gigi. I'd never really planned to write the book, but I was led to believe by a publisher that that's what people were buying, that's what people were reading. It's the women that buy the books, and apparently they buy them by the ton. And I had never really thought about writing for women per se, and certainly never about a wedding chapel, but I did want to write, and I stumbled across this idea about a wedding chapel, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a bash and see if I can do it. And that's that's how it originally came about. And I came up with the idea of, I met a couple at a wedding chapel, and that's what sparked off the concept of the book. And it was a challenge. I think it is a challenge for a male writer to write for women. It certainly was for me anyway. But I was blessed. I had a critique group with five women, and they were an absolute godsend. You know, they really helped me get the book written and get it over the finish line.
Right, that's wonderful. You know, women are they're so picky and everything, and I really hope that you had a wonderful time with everybody chipping in to help you to, you know, give out their information and their opinions and what have you for your stories. I'd like to ask you again, too, how big is the wedding industry? It's in Las Vegas, and, you know, everybody goes to Las Vegas, it seems, to get married. What is so special about that?
Oh, well, you know, the wedding industry in Vegas is massive. It is huge, easy. It's a $2 billion a year industry, and
mm-hmm.
over 200 wedding ceremonies are performed every single day. There's over 50 wedding chapels here in Las Vegas. We even have our own wedding chamber of commerce, if you can believe that. It really is huge, because it's not just the weddings themselves. It sponsors, you know, there's bridal outfits and tuxedo rentals and florists, and of course caterers and limo drivers and Elvis Presley impersonators and so on and so forth. It's a huge, huge industry. And I think people come here. It's a very exciting city. You know, no matter where you go in the world, everybody's heard of Las Vegas. Everyone wants to come here. I think it's a very magical city. It's an exciting city. And it's certainly never a dull moment. And I think that's probably what attracts people to come here. And I would imagine a lot of them just come here anyway, and they decide to get married off the cuff. They get swept away with the moment, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think everybody plans to get married here, but I think a lot of people do plan on coming here, and others it just happens on the fly.
Wow, that's you know, I've looked at Las Vegas. I've never been there myself, and I've looked at the impact that it has on so many people there, you know, and I could probably sit somewhere afar and just write a story, because I'm an author myself, and just watching people, you know, just watching all those people in Las Vegas and just writing stories about each individual, I'd probably have a huge book, because it's an unending story there in Las Vegas. But you being a male writer and writing about women, that's kind of an iffy challenge, do you think, for yourself? I know you said that you had women to help you out, but all of the challenges in life, I mean, how do you do that? How do you cope with that? How do you cope becoming a writer and writing the stories, even though you say you're not being romantic in some sense? What about it that,
well,
makes you so, that makes people buy your book?
I never really thought of myself as a romantic at heart, but I guess as time went by, you know, you being an author too, and I think most authors feel as well, when you're writing, you learn a lot about yourself as a human being too. And because these were love stories, I really tried to get inside the characters, and all the stories are very, very different. They are all linked together into a novel. But each of the stories are very, very unique, I think, and very, very different. And trying to get inside the characters and express them
mm-hmm.
and feel, try and get what they were feeling and why they were taking this road, it was a challenge. I learned an awful lot about it. I learned a lot about women, too, because the five ladies in my group told me where, when I was going off the reservation, you know, somewhere, they would sort of bring me back, and they were a great help. But I had never planned on publishing it originally, Gigi. I wrote it to see if I could do it, and I then went and wrote a murder mystery, and I wanted to get that published. But when I went to the company that helped publish, that they said, oh, you've written a book about Las Vegas Wedding Chapel. Well, hey, we've got to go with that. And so that's the road it went. You know, it landed up getting published, and I had never dreamed when I first set out to write it that it would actually go to be published. So I'm very, very excited that the road took me in that direction, and very, very excited with the response that come from it. You know, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, it did spawn a sequel. People wanted to know what happened to everybody after they left the altar. And that was a very humbling and a very, very pleasant surprise for me, because it was not planned. And that's what makes life exciting, I suppose.
Yes, it does. It really does make life exciting, Stephen. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stephen Murray, author. A very, 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 I don't know, you're kind of sexy with your voice. I'm going to have to say that on the radio. A very sexy voice here. And he's born in England, and he has traveled extensively back and forth from Las Vegas to England. And one of his books, well, a lot of his books are available now. And excuse me for stuttering so much, because I'm kind of nervous. It's like I'm talking to a big-time celebrity here, because I'm looking at all your books, by the way, and everything that you've penned so far. Murder Above the Queen Elizabeth, Return to Chapel of Eternal Love, Marriage Stories. And all these books are available for you to download. The Chapel of Eternal Love, about the wedding stories from Las Vegas. You can also download it for a free preview on Kindle. And, of course, Oh Christmas Tree. We didn't mention that one in the interview, but he has plenty of books that you can go in to look to see what you'd like to order. This is Stephen Murray, and he is my very special featured guest tonight on The Artist Loft. This is Gigi, your radio host. Now, Stephen, back to your questions for a moment. Have you ever considered having your book made into a movie? Have you ever been offered that?
The Chapel books, Gigi, I'm not too sure as they lend themselves to a movie per se, because, you know, there's basically 20 chapters in the book, and they've each got, you know, they're kind of like vignettes, and each chapter features a different couple. So for a two-hour movie, I don't know if it lends itself towards that per se, but my dream has always been that it gets put on Hallmark or Lifetime or Family or Disney Channel, one of those family kind of channels, as a TV miniseries, because I can see each chapter being a weekly story, either half hour or even a full hour, depending on, you know, who they get to do the screenplay or produce it. But I've always thought it would be a great TV miniseries, you know, set in Las Vegas, with Vegas as the background or backdrop, and of course the chapel as the backdrop, and the wedding organizer Rosemary and her dog Buster as being the links each week for the story. So I would like it to see it go on to TV. That's for sure.
Well, have you talked to anyone at Hallmark or Lifetime channels or the PBS channels?
It's kind of hard into that. You really need to get an agent, which is probably where I should go, and try and get an agent that can open the doors in those areas for me. I've just been having such fun, you know, doing book signings and presentations in Las Vegas and doing radio interviews like this. I'm having a lot of fun and enjoyment chatting with you here. And I have a full-time job as well, so my time is kind of limited. It's all got to be done in, you know, my spare time. And I want to keep writing. And the murder mystery just came out at the end of February, so that's taking up time promoting that and trying to get that off the ground as well. But it's all fun, it's all good, and it makes for a wonderful, interesting life.
Well, tell us a little bit about Eternal, your book Eternal. Oh Lord, I'm so sorry, my mind is gone. The Chapel of Eternal Love. I am so sorry. The Chapel of Eternal Love. Tell us a little bit about that. Give us a little bit of a story idea from it.
Well, the book opens with the background of how the actual chapel got built, and it is a fictional chapel. It doesn't actually exist, but it gives a story about how it was built about 50-odd years ago, and then it brings us up to the current date, and the first couple to come in, they fall in love through their Harley Davidsons. They've both had troubled pasts, and they meet on the East Coast. They live on the East Coast, and they both love their Harley Davidsons. They meet at a Harley Davidson club, and they're both kind of loners, but they decide to travel across the United States together and across the South on their Harleys, and they do. And as they're traveling across the country, just the two of them, they suddenly fall in love with each other, and that brings them to get married. Another couple, they're elderly. They've both lost their spouses after 50 years of marriage each. And they're both very, very lonely, and they meet at a cemetery. And obviously,
wow,
they're not marrying for the passionate side that, you know, people in their teens and 20s and 30s do. They're marrying really for the companionship and because of mutual understanding. They've each had the loves of their lives, and they just meet, and it's a companionship aspect that brings them together. And then there's a couple of mixed faith. There's a young Jewish lady, and she falls in love with a Catholic guy, and their parents are absolutely dead set against this marriage. They don't want it to happen, but you know, the youngsters are headstrong, and they really believe that love conquers all and will overcome the religious background differences. So that's another chapter. Then of course there are a couple of fun chapters. There's two sets of twins where twin guys fall for twin ladies, and all the confusion that emanates when they go out as a foursome, and how they, you know, fall in love and get married. So there's all different stories. There's an illegal immigrant that comes in, and she loves her husband in South America who's got to have eye surgery. And she can't afford it in South America. She comes here thinking that streets are paved with gold and she can earn this money to send back to her husband so he can have his eye surgery. And because she doesn't have a paper, she's really abused and taken advantage of. And it's a bit of a sad story, but it does end with, you know, as I mentioned earlier, a little bit of hope and optimism. So those are just a few of the different flavors of the book, if you will.
I see. That's very interesting, and I'm going to have to get me a copy of that, of your book. Well, with having so many books that you've written, what is your next book that you plan on penning?
I have started to pen another murder mystery. The last murder mystery that I've just finished and just released, that takes place on board the Queen Elizabeth II, the luxury liner, with a group of wealthy socialites. They're celebrating, and one of the party gets murdered. My next book, I plan on being a murder mystery, and I'm just toying with it right now. It's still in the early stages. And this one takes place in Las Vegas, and it's about three ladies that work for a very high-class escort agency,
mm-hmm.
and three ladies of the night, if you will, and they decide to get rid of their pimp, and that's the basic outline of the story as to where I'm going. And again, that's a challenge as well, because I'm not an expert on escort agencies, so this is a challenge writing this one too. But that's what makes it worthwhile. It's the challenges that make it enjoyable.
Yeah, very, very enjoyable. Do you? Well, I'm going to ask you, with the books that you've penned and the books that you're going to pen, do you actually sleep like most writers do? Because I know I do, with a pad and pen by your bed.
Oh, absolutely not. No, no. When I go out to sleep, I go onto another planet. I'm gone till I'm ready to wake up. I'm one of those disciplined writers. I try and set aside a certain amount of time each week and just actually write. But during the week, Gigi, when I'm in the car going to the bank or the supermarket or wherever I'm going, as I'm driving along, all these thoughts and conversations and characters are racing around in my mind. And then when I finally get to the computer keyboard, which is normally like on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, then I sit down and bash it all out. And then I start again thinking the next week. I start formulating the next chapter and so on. So I'm more of a disciplined writer. I kind of admire those authors that do just suddenly wake up in the middle of the night and they rush out to their computer and they all of the stuff just comes tumbling out for hours. I kind of admire that, but I'm not wired that way at all.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So many authors are just individually different from everybody. Some are in the
same
class.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you want each one of your books to stand on its own, or are you trying to build a body of work with connections between each book?
Well, the two chapter books obviously have connection. The murder mystery book has no connection whatsoever to either of the chapter books. The second, The Return, was a challenge as well because it's a sequel and it revisits the couples that were in the first book 5 years down the road. It's you don't necessarily want to repeat the stories as to why and how they got married, but you can't just jump in to the second book without giving a little bit of background so that people who just happen to pick up the second book and start reading it, that they're not totally lost as to, you know, where these couples are coming from and what happened. So that was an interesting challenge too, writing the sequel, to try and write something that would give the background for people that were reading the second book and not repeating so much that it was making it boring for the people who had read the first book. It's find that delicate balance and that fine line. And so those two are connected together. But the murder mystery is standalone. And the next murder mystery, that will be standalone as well.
Okay.
I might, sometime down the road, it's been suggested that the investigator in the murder mystery book, that maybe I develop a series around him, having the investigator as the main character, kind of like Hercule Poirot or Miss Marple from Agatha Christie or, you know, some of those other well-known sleuths.
Yeah.
But I'll think about that. Think about that.
Okay. Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, I know that each writer is different, as we just talked about a moment ago. And there's so many things that, you know, problems that authors have with publishing companies. You know, there are vanity presses out there, and then there are self-publishing companies. But what is the most unethical practice in the publishing industry have you come across?
I published independently, Gigi. Found out, you know, when I started writing, I was totally green. I didn't know any authors. I didn't even know where to begin going about publishing. So you know, I kept hearing about these query letters. You've got to write these query letters to all these publishers and then see if they'll take your book. And that just seemed to me to be a bit of a challenge, figuring out what are they looking for in a query letter. And there are all these sites that you can go to that tell you how to write them. And, of course, a lot of them offer different perspectives and angles. And I heard about a company here that helps here, right here in Las Vegas, called Imagine Communications. And they don't physically publish, but they help you publish. You know, that they help you with the typesetting and the editing and the cover designing, and you know, get the ISBN numbers and where to go to get a copyright and all that kind of stuff. So I went that route. So it's I haven't gone the traditional publishing route like a lot of people, and I think that there's probably pluses and minuses to both going both routes. If you do it independently, it's your book, it's your copyright. You can change the cover, you can do what you want with it. Once you go the traditional publishing route, you lose a lot of control. But the plus side is they can get your books into places that myself as an independent author might not be able to get their book into.
Exactly. Independent publishing is better for a lot of people because it's less of a hassle, less stressfulness.
Sure.
You can do it pretty much basically what you'd like to do, even down to your book cover, because everything is so available now. You know, in Microsoft, you can go into Microsoft Publishers or one of the other Microsoft programs to create your book covers and, you know, take away some of the high cost of everything that's, you know, going up for writers, because it's just getting ridiculous to me personally in some aspects of writing, because I write a lot myself. And to have something that you can really do on your own is really a wonderful experience, because you can take your time with it. You don't have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for something that you can do if you just sit back and just get the internet and go searching and surfing. You'll find what you need to do there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I was reading some of your writer reviews, and you have a plethora of writing reviews. Everyone loves your book, and I mean, it's just, it goes on and on and on, and I love your presentation on AuthorStand.com, and I wanted to know the first place winner. What was that all about? What was being a first place winner? How did you accept that? How did you receive that?
Oh, that was from Authors Talk About It, and that was a real unexpected, pleasant surprise. And I had submitted the book into the contest, and Authors Talk About It's another radio program, and I'd been interviewed on the radio, and they had started up this book contest, so I thought, oh, let me just submit it for fun, and they guaranteed a review. You know, if you submitted a book, they guaranteed a review, and so I was very pleased when both of the books got 5-star reviews, which automatically puts you into the finalists. And then from each category, they picked out 3 finalists. So I was very, very excited to be in the 3 finalists for the mainstream category. And how they announced it, Gigi, they did it on Facebook.
Oh,
and
wow.
it was just kind of like the Academy Awards. You know, there was the husband and wife there, and they said, okay, you know, we've now come to this character, this category, and the nominees are, and they read out the 3 things, and then the other one opened the envelope and said, and the winner is. So I was sitting there, and I think the mainstream category is probably about the 3rd or 4th one in, and I was just watching it on Facebook, and I really never thought for one moment that it would win. I really didn't. And I was just so elated when they said, and the winner is, and Chapter Return Love. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Again, probably more so, Gigi, because I'd never originally planned to publish it. That was the kicker. You know, when I finished writing it, I just thought, well, that was an interesting, fun challenge, and I shoved it in the back of the computer and forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 2 years later when I'd finished the murder mystery that the guy said, well, what else have you written other than this? I said, well, you know, chapter of eternal love about a fictional Vegas wedding chapel, and the rest, as they say, is history. So I think it's because I never expected it to be published. I never expected it to have such positive response, and certainly never expected it to win a competition. So it's all been icing on the cake, you know. It's just been wonderful.
Exactly, exactly.
And very humbling, too, I might add, very humbling.
Yes, I was going to say that because, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you just, when you don't really try, so many people try so hard to get to point from point A to point B. But if you just do something naturally and you put it aside, I mean, you never know. Someone may be knocking on your door. Hey, we need you to come on TV. Hey, you just won an award. And just like you, you saw it on Facebook. So that should have been a wonderful feeling, a fantastic blessing in itself because, as I mentioned before, your readers are talking a lot about you, about eternal love, the Chapel of Eternal Love. And even though it's a fictional book, how did you come up with your character names? Were they real?
No, they are all imagination, Gigi.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened, I had some people visiting from outside the country, and they want to go to a wedding chapel. And there was a couple sitting waiting to go in and get married. And we were just talking to them. And after I dropped a couple, it was a client of mine back at their hotel, I was driving home and I thought, I wonder, well, like you started out, why do they come to Las Vegas? Why are they here? Where are their friends? Why is there just the two of them? That's what was going through my mind. And then I suddenly thought, my goodness, there's my book. And, you know, by the time I'd got home, all of these stories had come into my mind just from that drive home. Within 20 minutes, each story had come into my mind, and I thought, I must get to the computer and put these little outlines down.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. That's exactly what I did. And then I took each chapter, and like the chapter with the Harley-Davidson couple, their names are Maddie and Garth, and I developed the characters at first. I thought, this is what I want them to be like. And I kind of put the names to the characters. I didn't come up with the names first. So it was rather odd. I don't know how other authors come up with names. But I just came up with, when I was thinking about the characters, I suddenly thought, oh, you know, Garth would be a perfect name for this individual, and Maddie would be the perfect name for the lady in the chapter. And
right. That's
how the names came about.
That's interesting. It seems to be sort of a magical kind of mind thing for a lot of authors. I know you can just sit there and just things just come to you, you know, right away. You can start writing about them and you go from there, because I think that those are very special gifts, because I don't think that everyone can do that. I may be a little selfish in my thoughts, but I do believe that. I believe that gifted writers, and everybody can write, but how well can you write? That's another a question, you know, that I would like to ask you in a moment, but I do have a question for you right now. What literary pilgrimages have you gone on?
Literally pilgrimage before the books or since the beginning, since I started to write?
Since you started to write, the beginning.
Oh, okay. I always refer to it as Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, because it really has been a totally wild ride. I set out originally to write my autobiography because, as you mentioned earlier, you know, I was born in England but raised in Southern Africa, and I've traveled throughout the world literally and been to about 40-odd different countries. And one day I suddenly thought, I really need to put all of these experiences down on paper. And that's what I did, and I spent 2 years writing this autobiography. And that's when I finished, I thought, now what do I do? And I stumbled across this writers group in Vegas, and I thought, well, let me go there one evening, and maybe they can tell me where to go from now. And that's where I met the publisher that was talking to the group, who said, you know, if you're writing anything, unless it's women's fiction, forget it. So I didn't know any different, and I didn't know any authors, and I went home, and I thought I was really crushed because I spent 2 years of my time writing this book. And that's where I discovered the passion for writing. I have written the biography, and that's where I thought, well, you know, if I want to keep writing, I've really got to come up with these women's stories. So that's how that book came about. And once it was released, you know, it wasn't too long before people started saying, you know, where's the second book? You know, what's happened to all these people? We love these people. What happened to them? It was almost like the people were real.
Right.
And which is a very nice feeling for me as a writer. And so then, of course, I had to sit down and write the sequel. But the journey's been a very, very interesting one because I haven't been across country promoting it or been on any Barnes & Noble book tours or things like that. But I have been invited to a lot of places and done book signings and presentations and met a lot of people that I never would have dreamed of meeting. It's just taken me on a very, very wonderful journey and meeting so many different people. And, of course, I've now joined the Las Vegas Wedding Chamber of Commerce, and they've allowed me to have a book signing at one of their chamber events, and I've had book signings at libraries and at beauty salons and at art galleries and at coffee shops. And, you know, there's a lot of different places where you can have book signings. And, of course, you put the bookstores in Las Vegas and Barnes & Noble. And I think certainly because of the subject of the chapel books, a lot of people have come up and spoken to me and said, oh, I got married at Las Vegas Wedding Chapel. I knew their life story. And some of the people's stories are very, very interesting. It's why they got married. And one couple said they love clowns and they want to get married in clowns' outfits. And
wow.
They knew that in Las Vegas would probably be one of the few places where they could actually marry wearing clowns' costumes. And they're probably right in that. A lot of other places, they might have been considered weird or unusual, but here in Las Vegas, it's, hey, anything goes if that's what makes you happy. Far be it from us to take away your happiness. And so that's where the pilgrimage has been a very, very interesting one. And now with the murder mystery just come out, I am hoping that's going to be an equally interesting journey as well.
I really hope that all of them are equally rewarding journeys for you. And you know, while you were talking, I was sitting here thinking as I was listening to you, Stephen, about your books, especially The Chapel of Eternal Love, being on a TV show like PBS, as we mentioned earlier, or Hallmark, A Lifetime. Have you ever thought about having it as a play, a stage play, or brought or biggest play, you know, something in that order? Because, you know, with all of the fantastic dancers and everything is on stage in Las Vegas, you know, and it's so beautiful there. Have you ever considered that?
No, it's the only reason I shouldn't say I haven't thought about it. I've touched on it, but kind of dismissed it and maybe too rapidly. I've dismissed it only because I thought, again, it comes back to 20 chapters or 20 different stories. Well, for a 2-hour play, that would only allow about 5 minutes or so per couple. And I wonder if that will be sufficient enough time for it to work, for people to get to know the characters and relate to them and care about them. You know, I wonder whether 5 minutes will be sufficient time, and they might not necessarily get hooked on the characters. But as I said, that's been the extent of my thought, and those are the reasons why I've kind of dismissed it. But maybe I should talk to somebody here in Las Vegas, maybe do a display kind of show or something like that. I don't know. Anything's possible.
Oh, yeah, especially in Las Vegas. I just think it would be a beautiful stage play or a beautiful performance. It could be excerpts of the book, and it could be handled in a way that whoever would write the stage play or in that particular production would mesmerize the audience because of the fact that there are different stories, and each one has a different twist to it, and especially the meetings and everything. I can see it now all in my mind's eye, coming into fruition as something like that. And maybe hopefully one day it will. Who knows? You may change your mind and have it produced. But I do also see it being a very, very fantastic show on the TV programs that we have mentioned before, and I wish you well with that. And I hope to see that on TV one day because, you know, there are not too many writers that have a passion for really writing and really expressing themselves through creative works. And what makes you different? What makes you stand out above all other authors? What makes you different than the other writers in your age category, in the type of writing that you do? What's special about Stephen?
Oh, I'm not too sure there's anything special about Stephen. To be quite honest, I have met since I started writing. I met a lot of wonderful, very wonderful local authors here in Las Vegas. As I said, it's opened up a whole new world. And of course, at the book signings, especially group book signings, you tend to exchange a lot of books. And I go home and I read them and I think, oh my goodness, these people are so gifted and so talented. Wasn't that, you know, in many ways it almost makes you want to stop. But we don't, because everybody has a different voice and people like different styles of writing. I'm sure there are people out there that wouldn't like my books, that they just wouldn't necessarily like my style of writing. That's what makes it all so interesting, because writers all have different styles, and it's like TV shows. You know, there's all kinds of crime shows on TV, and some are more popular than others, and some people relate to one show and they won't relate to another, and then people see different things. And it's no different than in a book. They'll see different things and they'll take different things away from it. And it's kind of like why we have menus in restaurants. You know, it's all choices. It's all about choices. And I hope that I provide a niche there for some people and provide something that some people like. But I know there are a lot of very talented and gifted authors out there, and far, far better than mine, my writing, but I'm just pleased that I have found an audience that has enjoyed the books. And not only women, incidentally, but one of the big surprises from the book was the number of men that have read it and enjoyed it, which was a real surprise.
That is a surprise. That is a surprise. And see, that makes you awesome, because you're attracting everybody. You know, with the book, because I haven't read it yet, but I've been reading excerpts on the internet about it, and it's very interesting. It's just a fun book to read, with bringing that kind of vision into everybody's mind in a different way, but you can see the characters, but you can visualize certain things about characters. You may even want to put yourself in the character that you've written yourself about. So I think it's a fantastic journey for you, and I really appreciate, you know, you being on the show and talking about your book, and you have so many readers, and I wanted to ask you, how do you balance making demands on the reader with taking care of the reader?
I don't know. I don't really have an answer for you on that, Gigi. It's a good question. The readers, certainly of the first book, were very they were just so positive and so responsive, and their only real demand, for want of a better word, was that, you know, what happened to all these people? You know, did their marriages last? And you know, like what happened to the illegal immigrant that I alluded to earlier? What happened? Did she ever get the money for her husband's operation? And so on and so forth. It never occurred to me that people would care that much about the people in the book, that they would want to know what happened after they left the chapel. To me, the story's all finished once they got married. So that's been the only real demand, if you will. And that writing the second book, that was another challenge, because again, it was like the first book. I'd never planned on it, and it was very exciting to then suddenly come up with follow-up stories that weren't in my original mind. And I went and looked at all these characters, and I think, gosh, where could their life have taken them? Where would they have gone? What would have happened here, and what would have happened there? And it's all been very rewarding. It's been very, very good. And I'm flattered that the readers did want to know what happened to the first couples. That forced me to re-examine the first book and then go and put out a second one. It'll be interesting to see how the readers respond to the mystery, because it's so totally different. And I hope those who have read my first two books will now read the third one. And I'm anxious to find out whether they enjoy it much, or because it's so different, their expectations are different. That's still out there, still in judgment day, still to come.
I'm here, Stephen. I'd like to have take a quick break, right quick. And introduce you again to my very special guest, Mr. Stephen Murray, author of The Chapel of Eternal Love, Wedding Stories from Las Vegas. You can call in. We have a few more minutes left, and we can call in if you'd like to ask Mr. Murray some questions about his book. And any questions you'd like to ask him as an author, please call in at 646-200-3817. And a very delightful man, great stories. So many books that you can go and pick up yourself from Amazon.com. And he's written many, many books. And I would like for you to support this young man, to help him out, not really help him out, but to support him. Talk about his books, read his books. Murder, Queen Elizabeth II, Chapel of Eternal Love. Those are books that you can read. Eternal Love, Marriage Stories from Las Vegas is a very interesting book. Mr. Murray is a very unique man, I believe, in his own right, as a creative artist. And, again, you can call in 646-200-3817. He is a first place. He said earlier that it was a bit of a surprise to him that he won first place as a winner, and he saw it all on Facebook. What other better way can you really find out that, hey, they're really appreciating what I do? So call him. Give him a call at 646-200-3817 and let us hear from you. Let us know that you're listening in, and talk to Mr. Murray before we leave the air. Now, Stephen, sure, you know, every author, because I have, you know, so many books that I read that are underappreciated novels, you know, they don't get a chance to have to get where a lot of books have gotten. And do you know why it's that way? Have you ever experienced that in any of your novels?
You mean in terms of getting it sold?
Getting it sold,
once you get the book published? Yeah, you know what? My only suggestions would be to, certainly to independent authors, is don't give up on it. You know, the toughest part, Gigi, is that the relatively easy part's the writing. You know, that's a creative part, and you tinker with it, and you tweak it, and you rewrite it, you know, so many times, and you finally get it published. But it's afterwards that you've got to keep pushing it, and it's not just a once-off thing. You can't just do a book signing and think, well, you know what, it's going to land up on the New York Times bestseller list. It doesn't work that way. You've got to reach out. You've got to continually try and be on radio shows like you and I are talking now. Continually sign up for book signings. Check out local places where you can go and promote your book or talk about your book, present it. You said you found out about some of the stuff on Author's Den. There are the sites out there like Author's Den and Hometown Reads and what have you, where you've got to go and put your work out there. You can't just send it to Amazon. They've got millions of books, and of course it's great to have it on Amazon, but people have still got to know that it's out there. And how do they know that it's out there? And it's just through keeping at it. And I would say to any author, you know, try not to get discouraged. Just keep plugging away. Go at it. Look for the radio shows. Look for the author websites. And just keep promoting and call the bookstores and try and get book signings and things like that. Just try and do it. And I just did want to touch one thing, by the way. You were mentioning about the books available on Amazon. They can also go to my website, and we do accept PayPal if they want signed or autographed or personalized inscribed copies if they want them for wedding gifts for anybody. We will do personalized signed copies. And they just need to go to my website, which is, you know, www.authorstephenmurray, that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y.com. And it will list all the books, and they can click on each book and it will take to their website. And there's a place where they can go and order it and specify if they want it as a gift or inscribed to somebody else as a wedding gift or something like that. They can certainly do that as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. That is, and I'll make sure that everybody, I'll re-enter it again. It's www.authorstephenmurray.com, and that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Stephen Murray. You can go and pick up his books there as well as Amazon.com. I'll be traveling there myself, Stephen, to pick up a copy of your book and read it. I love, well, I couldn't say horror stories, but I do love horror stories. I love the twist. I love Alfred Hitchcock. You know, I still watch his movies today. And does your book about on the Queen Elizabeth, does it have anything to do with in a style of writing that people can get used to crawl into and have it and know that somewhere along the line they're getting a great, you know, Scotland Yard type kind of novel, or, you know, intrigued by Alfred Hitchcock in some way, if I'm saying that correctly?
Yeah, no, I think I understand where you're going. I'm hoping that it will be considered to be a page turner for people. The one professional, because it's so new out, it's only been out a month. There's one professional review out on the website right now, and the reviewer did say that it's kind of like a Murder, She Wrote story or an Agatha Christie kind of book, which it's not the Alfred Hitchcock suspense kind of book that always has you sort of on the edge of your seat, but it is a murder mystery in the sense of, you know, it's obviously somebody gets murdered, and then after that, the fun part is figuring out who did it and why, and there are all these people with the suspects, and that's the fun part of the murder mystery, is the whodunit. So this is the murder mystery is more of a whodunit book than an Alfred Hitchcock, the birds kind of suspense story.
Mm-hmm. kind of like a, let's see, Scotland Yard kind of book where you, like you said, whodunit, because you've got to go in and find out. And I love it when a reader can go in and write notes down and you know, to themselves and say, well, I already know the answer to this, and find out that it's something totally different. You know, I believe that those books are very interesting books to read, especially when you have a twist in the story. So I'll look forward to reading that book as well.
Well, the people who have read it so far, the emails that I've received so far, and I do read the emails that come through on the website, the emails that have come through, they have pretty much unanimously said they didn't guess till the final twist who it was who actually did the murder. So that makes me feel happy that they were kept, everyone so far has been kept guessing right until the very end, and nobody's written and said, oh, you know what, I figured it out in the fourth chapter or the fifth chapter. That's kind of nice to know that it's right at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is, you know, I wish you so much success, and I know that you're already successful as a writer just by talking to you and looking at all the books you've published so far and books that you will publish in the near future. There's a certain air about creative writers that just blows my mind, because you have such a wide creative mind, you know, that keeps the reader, as you say, flipping the pages, and that's the most important, you know, as far as they can do. But as a writer yourself, with all the young writers that are here and they're writing, do you really have to become a trained author? Or do you write from your heart? Because I have a question here from my Twitter box, and they wanted to know, this young person wanted to know, Betty, can you write from your heart? Do you really have to go to school to train? And they wanted to know what you felt about that.
Well, yes, thank the person who tweeted for the question. I have to tell you, I never went to a writing class at all. I really didn't. Obviously, we did it at schools, you know, where when I was at high school, you know, we had to write essays and short stories and so on and things like that. But I never went to school at all to learn how to write a book. And I think sometimes, like many things in life, you're better off just going from your heart. Well, I think we're all given instinct and gut feelings for a reason and for a purpose. And sometimes I say go with your heart. Sometimes you can listen so much to the experts and you'll never get off the ground. And I don't mean to sound disparaging to the experts, but sometimes, like I listened to the expert who said nobody's reading anything unless it's women's fiction. Well, I took that to heart. And as it happened, it took me on a journey that I wouldn't have otherwise gone, that turned out to be a wonderful one. But the point is, it wasn't necessarily accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it as gospel. So I would say to the person from the Twitter, you know, you can go and go to some creative writing classes and things like that and get ideas and concepts. But I would say always go with your heart and go with your gut, because we have them for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
And that's a great opinion. And she's saying thank you. Her name is Betty. Thank you, Betty Gordon. Thank you very much for your questions. You guys, you wait till the last minute to tweet me, and we're about to shut down now. You got to start getting on your program and calling us at 7 o'clock to talk to our radio guests. And we appreciate you calling in. And, you know, I'm going to get on your case because I'm just direct like that. And I would love for you to call in and talk to our guests. So thank you, Betty Gordon, for your question from Twitter to Stephen. And we have about 1 minute left, and I have one question more to ask you. Actually, we have 10 seconds. Does your writing energize or exhaust you?
Oh, it energizes me. It truly
Okay.
energizes me. It's just getting that creative juices going and get that mind going. It's wonderful. No, it doesn't tire me at all. Book signings at the end of them, I think, because you're on show and you're so hyped up, at the end of a book signing, I'm wiped out. But I think it's because I'm so hyped up at the actual signing themselves. They can wear you out, but not the actual writing. Not the actual writing.
Yes. Well, we're here. And see, I'm not the only one. David Lavista, L-I, well, David Lavista, he says he loves your accent and he wants to be an actor. Do you have any ideas, he says, for having a British or English accent?
Oh, do I? Well,
stay away from the book. Like a box of chocolate.
Well, accents, you know, if I would suggest, I'm not too sure where David lives, but probably spend some time in England, I would think. Oddly enough, when I speak to people over here, think I have a very English accent. When I speak to people in England, a lot of them will say, oh my goodness, what's happened to your wonderful English accent? You now sound so American. Well, not to an American, I don't. So it's all relative, I suppose. I don't know for David, if I would suggest going, if he really wants to acquire a British accent. You know, there are so many British accents, like there are Americans. You know, people in New York don't speak the same as in California or in the Deep South.
Exactly.
But if you can't get over to England, I would suggest get some audio tapes that are recited by English people and just play them back and listen. And if he's an actor, he should be able to emulate what they're saying and learn to copy it.
Exactly.
But I'm not too... if that's what David wants, but I'm sure his accent, it might not appeal to him, but I'm sure the accent he has will appeal to others, because a lot of American accents appeal to me, because I don't have one. So to me, a lot of them are fascinating and intriguing.
Yes, they are.
Sometimes it's best to just be ourselves and, you know, make the best of the talents we've been given and the voices we've been given, and I'm sure Dave's been given a nice accent and a nice voice too.
Well, he's from Ohio and Akron, Ohio. I do know where that's at, but he's 18 years old and he didn't have a question about the book. He wanted to know about the accent. So, David, I hope that answered your question for you, and do call back again, because Stephen, we hope that you'll be back on the show again, Stephen, in the near future, and we can piggyback ride from all the things that you're doing and keep our listeners informed about your upcoming books. And if one of your books becomes a movie, by all means, let us know so we can talk about that and help to promote you with that and get people interested in it. But our time is up for tonight, Stephen, and I really do appreciate you being on the show.
Gigi, it's been wonderful. I've thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. I thank you so very much for your time and for your questions. And again, thank the listeners for tuning in. I just hope that they enjoyed it as much as I did, because I had a wonderful time, and I hope your listeners found it worthwhile and interesting. And hopefully, if any of them are still there and they have questions, my email address is on my websites, and I'd be more than happy to hear from any of them. They just need to say they heard from me, heard about me via Gigi or the author's loft, and I'll connect the dots, and I'll be happy to answer any questions they may have.
Okay. Well, listeners, if you're listening to that, you can email him. What is your email, Stephen, before we leave?
It's Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, at Cassandra's. cassandras.net. And again, it is on my website. If they go to the author, StephenMurray.com website, it does have a little contact section, and it's got my email address there, and they can absolutely send an email via there, and I will be happy to respond.
Okay. Well, thank
you. I'd love
very
to
much.
Come back on the show. Just shoot me an email yourself, Gigi, when you have an opening. And I'd be delighted to come back and chat anytime. And good luck with your writing, too.
Thank you very much. Just let me know when you want to come back, and I'll set that up for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft. You can go and download The Artist Loft by going to The Artist Loft, author Stephen Murray, and from Blog Talk Radio. Now, our shows are heard all over the United States, including Japan and Canada. So if you're listening and you'd like to download it, we also have people in Africa and Asia that also listen to The Artist Loft. So we have a very vast listening category here. So Stephen Murray, the author of the award-winning work of fiction entitled The Chapel of Eternal Love, Wedding Stories from Las Vegas, is available on his website, www.stephenmurray.com. That's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, murray.com. Also on amazon.com. And if you'd like to give us some shout-outs, we'd appreciate that, and let us know how you enjoyed the show. You can also go to Facebook, where the show is posted, and listen to the archive radio show there tonight. So thank you all for having let us come into your living rooms or your bedrooms or your headphones, for that matter, and listen to this wonderful man talk about his book. And I hope that you all have a wonderful evening. So thank you again, Stephen, and I hope to see you and talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Gigi. Take care, and remember, spread the word of love.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you again for joining the show. It has been a wonderful ride tonight with, left my stuttering once I got into the art of broadcasting tonight, and I'd like to also say, before I close out, we have available other radio shows, Wise Mind with Johnson T. Lange Jr., and also The Artist Loft, which I host and produce here right on Blog Talk Radio. We are listening all over the world, so we hope that you will send us emails. You can email me at Gwendolyn, that's Gwendolyn, 1160 at att.net, to let me know that you listen to the show and you'd like to have more information on the downloads, and I can send that to you. And if you'd like to be a guest, you can also email me at gwiz.productions.host@gmail.com. That's gwiz.productionshost@gmail.com. So you guys have a wonderful evening. God bless. See you next Monday with my next guest. Good night.